Welcome to United Voices, a podcast from United Way Waterloo Region Communities, where we seek to amplify important yet often overlooked issues and voices that help to shape our community. My name is Jill Laurie, and I'm part of the United Way team behind this podcast. We're at episode 3, where my colleague Brian Cam speaks with Julie Cavflesh, part of the fundraising and communications team at Sanguine Health. Julie is an educated and connected advocate for human rights, and during this conversation, I found myself feeling like 15 minutes was just not enough time. But we're trying to start with shorter episodes with the goal of having more people listen and become educated by folks that are connected and doing the work in our community. Let's get this United Voices conversation started.
Welcome, Julie. Thanks for joining us today. Wondering if you could say a little bit about your role at Sanguine.
So I'm the Director of Fundraising and Communications for Sanguine Health Center. And essentially, when you're working in a small nonprofit agency, that means I do a little bit of everything. My focus has been on certainly on the communication strategy as a tool to help attract more interest and donors. But I also work daily on just putting out messaging about what Sanguine is all about and how we are delivering healthcare in the community to some of our more vulnerable folks.
Great. Thanks, Julie. Recently, we had the pleasure of chatting a bit with Aqua, one of the partners I know that Sanguine works closely with. Alongside Langs, and some of the work being done in downtown Galt to work with folks who are experiencing homelessness, addiction, other challenges as well. What are you hearing from your team? Because I know the folks delivering services from Sanguine are busy right now. What's that looking like for them?
They are incredibly busy. We've seen homelessness rise to a concerning level, I think, in Waterloo Region. Certainly in Cambridge, the challenge is that there aren't as many services and resources down there to support folks who are homeless, in particular, appropriate level of shelter beds for emergency shelter. With that said, though, I would say that that's a growing problem across the entire region. And as the affordability crisis forges ahead, we continue to see more people falling into homelessness who never expected to. And so we're really caught flat-footed in some ways around finding ways to support folks when there's so many and just not enough people. Even though we have great people doing great work and we do rely on our partners, there's just not enough resources, money, spaces for folks right now. And so it's creating this tension and frustration for a lot of different people, for folks who are living in encampments and they don't have a proper home. They're feeling discarded, forgotten, hopeless. And then we have folks on the other side who are potentially frustrated with what they see. Maybe they don't know everything that's going on and the complexities of the situation, and they just want to be able to go to the park and they don't feel comfortable doing that because there's someone or a group of people living there. And so it's creating this tension. And I feel like if we could just get energy channeling to the right source for this frustration, we could really accomplish a lot more.
Speaking about the encampments, and one of the things we talked about quite a bit with Jose and some of the team there at Aqua was around what happens for folks trying to get basic needs met, trying to get food, trying to get a place to stay when they're asked to move along. Can you unpack a little bit what that looks like on the ground? I mean, especially the challenges that we hear your service team that's trying to support these folks.
You know, we see all kinds of things happen when folks are displaced and there's nowhere else for them to go. So it's a re-traumatization when you force people out of a spot that they've kind of carved out in the community. It's a safety issue. Perhaps they've found a spot where they're with other people and they feel they have some semblance of safety. It's a loss of belongings. Folks often lose their things, their only worldly possessions when something like an eviction happens or a clearing of an encampment. For us as social service providers and healthcare providers, it also interrupts the work that we're doing. So we have folks that go into encampments on a daily basis and provide healthcare, things like wound care, testing for diseases like hepatitis C, and getting actual treatment. We're doing healthcare in the field for these folks. And so when all of a sudden people aren't there anymore, our teams then have to shift their focus to finding people. And then sometimes trust has been broken. People are re-traumatized, like I said. And so you have to then start over with folks to get that back to that level and that relationship that we'd started. So, you know, it's a real problem to do this to folks who are already struggling enough, but it is very destabilizing.
So we're talking here about like relationships and the importance of that trust, which can be easily lost. And then, I'm thinking about like a kind of situation where someone is getting displaced, they're asked to move along, and let's say one of your nurses is looking to check up on someone who's got a significant wound, like, and now they can't find them. Is that a common kind of scenario?
Well, it will become more common as we see more of these encampments being cleared. People need to think about is that when that wound becomes worse and it turns into a massive infection that requires hospitalization, the cost of treating that individual becomes much higher. So even if you're, you know, maybe not dialed into the issues, understanding from a dollar and cent standpoint that harm reduction not only saves lives and reduces harms, but it actually saves money too. And so it's one of these things that we need to have more people understand. You know, for us, it's certainly about the folks that we serve. We feel that they deserve health care just like anyone else, but there are real dollar and cents amounts kind of associated with this, where we're saving money for our communities and diverting people away from healthcare that's already overburdened.
Folks in the community are generally very, very familiar with the wait times in local ERs. So that leads into a question of those who maybe don't understand why someone might not be comfortable in going to an ER. Like, oh yeah, if you've got a wound, if you've got this, why wouldn't you be able to access that?
So you mean the folks that we serve, like
Yeah.
what? Yeah. So what we find and why we're needed in the community is that folks who are homeless, marginalized, possibly struggle with addiction and mental health, they often become alienated from traditional health care. And that's for a variety of reasons. And so what we find is there's a distrust often in systems in general. The way that Sanguine works is that we have frontline team of folks who are our peers. They have lived experience, and they go into encampments, they go into other spaces, and they create connections. And for some, that can take a year, you know, just building relationships, talking with people, building trust, and then opening the door for someone, you know, oh, you know what? That leg looks like it might be infected. Like maybe let's have a nurse take a look at it. So every day is about building off of those connections in order to get people into a healthier place. The current crisis that we're in, it's a result of policy and system failures. We have a lot of people, like I said at the beginning, we have a lot of people who are angry right now and frustrated. And I think we need to direct that energy to the right place. If you go back in time to the 1990s, seems longer for some than for others, but if you go back there, That's when the provincial government decided to take a step back from providing deeply affordable, geared to income housing. And that decision has paved the way for where we are right now. We lost that stability. Municipalities then had that responsibility downloaded onto them, but it wasn't ever properly funded. And so they didn't have the infrastructure to build more, to keep pace with the, increased number of people that needed deeply affordable housing, or to maintain the ones that were already existing. So from the beginning, we have been eroding away that system for however many years. I always feel like 1990 was 10 years ago, but I know it wasn't. And so, I think we've been focusing our frustrations towards the wrong people. And what we need right now is deeply affordable housing with wraparound services. And we need to have the experts in our community. And in Waterloo Region, we have a lot of really great people who pull together regularly to focus on this issue and try to find solutions. We need to boost those folks up and give them the opportunity to help solve this crisis. But it's affordable housing. And I think if anyone tries to say otherwise, you need to question that. This is not because of people's mental health state or their addiction. And I would argue that a lot of the housing crisis is what's causing mental health and addiction issues. So I think that we need to really take a pause and understand where this is coming from and how we can find our way out of it.
Comes down to is the abundant, overabundant attention on individuals' challenges and experiences, whether it is mental health, whether it is addiction, rather than some of the systemic things surrounding that that really are at the core of why people end up where they are.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of United Voices from United Way Waterloo Region Communities. Deep gratitude to Julie Cabflesh from Sanguine Health. What a great conversation. It was rich, deeply insightful, and honestly, it was hard to keep it to just 15 minutes. These are the conversations that matter, and we are so grateful and committed to sharing them with you. If you'd like to learn more about United Way and how you can help support these initiatives, please visit our website or follow us on social media. United is the way to build a community where everyone has a chance to thrive.